When I arrived here 9 years ago, one of the first persons that I met was Linda Griffin. And she was already working in a capacity in those days. And I immediately asked her to be worship leader. That's long before Coleman came. Linda, I remember 9 wonderful, beautiful years. And I asked her if she would read the scripture for us this morning. First scripture reading. Once again, to say thank you for your faithful services of so many years. And please continue. And I'm planning to invite you more often to help me with scripture.
This is Psalm 145, verses 1 through 13. I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace. Not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is suffused with grace. Creation and creatures applaud you. God, your people bless you. They talk about the glories of your rule. They exclaim over your splendor, letting the world know of your power for good, the lavish splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom eternal. You never get voted out of office. God always does what he says and is gracious in everything he does. Praise God.
Our New Testament scripture reading is from Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Tell me what you think of this story. A man had 2 sons. He went up to the first and said, "Son, go out for the day and work in the vineyard." Son answered, "I don't want to." Later on, he thought better of it and went. The father gave the same command to the second son, and he answered, "Sure, glad to." But he never went. Which of the 2 sons did what the father asked? So they said, "The first." Jesus said, "Yes, and I tell you that crooks and whores are going to precede you into God's kingdom. John came to you showing you the right road, and you turned up your noses at him. But the crooks and whores believed him, and even when you saw their changed lives, you didn't care enough to change and believe him." Here ends our scripture readings for this morning. May it be that you and I sense God's presence as we listen to scripture and when we study it a little afterwards. Now we need to try and move back more than 2,000 years to imagine the setting and the circumstances of this telling story recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, it was a normal day in the courtyard of the huge temple in Jerusalem. And that's where the townsfolk gathered. It was a place where there was lots of things being sold, where people were gathering in little groups. And often before they went into the synagogue of those days, they share some quality time sometimes, and sometimes they just wasted time together there in the courtyard. Lots of talking. And believe me, lots of arguments. And needless to say, that most of the people who participated was talking and talking, and they didn't do much of great value on that particular time. So it was normal and natural that Jesus could come into the temple. And obviously it led through the courtyard. So on that particular day he came in, and people already recognized him. And we can just imagine that when they saw Jesus, some were excited because they've heard him elsewhere. They knew who he was at that time. And before you knew it, he started talking and teaching the people around him. And now on the other side was, of course, the church leader. Now, if I come into this pulpit and I see somebody standing in the back there and delivering a sermon, I will feel myself just a little bit threatened and not so sure how to respond. Those days it was heresy to do something like that, because the priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all had their specific disciplines that they thought they were the only ones who could really talk and be believed in a position to all others. So, yeah, of course, Jesus entered, and the church leaders of those days saw what was happening, and they felt a little bit threatened by this. And as he went on and on, they thought, we better get this guy to stop talking now. And so they wanted, the Bible says, so they wanted to silence him. Now, it is amazing, and this is the point where Matthew described what happened. It's amazing to see how neatly Jesus changed the argument coming his way into a challenge. It's amazing to see how he challenged them, and then to discover not only them, but also you and me, all of us, through the centuries. Because what he was actually telling the church leaders of those days was, it's time for you to stop talking and start doing something of real value for a change. Now, in this delightful story, because it is really a delightful story that Jesus told, he painted a picture of this one boy that pretended that he was indeed going to do the work that his father wanted him to do. He didn't say no. Okay, Dad, if you want me to do that, I'll do that. But actually, he never got around to do what he had promised. We all have children like that. You ask them to do things, and in the end you find, well, it's very much quicker to do it myself, and then I can do it without an argument. Not always, but I think as parents we've all had that experience at least once or twice in our lives. And even the second brother can be recognized in the year 2010. What was his response? Well, he really yelled that he wasn't going to do a thing. I will not. But in the story of Jesus, he eventually came around and he did what his dad actually wanted him to do. That's a story. Sounds innocent? Well, yeah, it does, until you go a little bit deeper. Until you realize who the audience was. Jesus was talking with the leaders of the church of his time. And for once from the audience came a challenge. He was challenging them in a way that they were certainly not used to. Of course, you know how it is with ministers. You always try to please them out there. Till when they leave the company, you say, thank God, now I can breathe again. Not you as church people, but many people out there. It's totally misunderstood, the whole situation. And so this was actually a challenge to them and their leadership. And he was obviously talking to those who were talking the talk, but not actually walking the walk. Very comfortable if you could talk about 2,000 years ago. But what about our times? It is still the same. Nothing has really changed. The story of Jesus addresses all who accepted Jesus as Savior and promised in a church like this one that we would devote our lives and our energies to God's kingdom. If I think back over the years, and I've often been placed in the position to find that I'm a baptizer and nothing more. And then in order to get that sacrament of baptism, that people will come, they would play with, they would learn, they will even join, make solemn oaths before God, join the church, promise to be part of it, and you'll see them once or twice after that. Reverend Jane, I think it was also your experience. And once when they got what they wanted, mostly based on superstition, because you cannot bluff God in any way, they disappear. They are on the rolls of this church. I check them regularly. They are on the rolls of every church that I ever served. Counted it recently. Had the privilege to serve 17 churches for shorter and longer periods of time since 1968. Nothing has changed. The story of Jesus is still as true as it was when it was first spoken. And the analysis of Jesus stands. That's how we are. That's simply how we are. Some of us are only talking the talk, while others are walking the walk. Now, one of these kids, I can't call him anything different, one son, and now you must remember that Jesus was addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, the ordained ones and the church leaders who promised God to work in God's vineyard and never got around to it. There he is, the illustration. That's a one son. The other, who was not really planning on it, changed his mind. Finally changed his mind and got the job done. So what is the message? What is the message that you and I still derive? We live in modern times. Why did we gather today? Why did we wake up with longing in our heart? Why did we think, I'm glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord? The message to a church that was engaged in senseless hanging around is clear. Once when you have become part of God's kingdom on earth, you need to stop talking and begin doing something. This church of ours is suffering because of a lack of volunteers. We have people who have carried the load in this church for many decades, who are worn out, who are tired. If you just look at them to ask them to do something more, you see the eyes roll, doing the maximum. Oh God, oh God. Where are your children? Would they understand what this is all about? We're not playing church. We are being a church of Jesus Christ in a world that hungers for the gospel of truth. What's the vineyard that needed caring? Oh, the kingdom of God on earth. A kingdom which calls for people like you and me to come forward and work and serve and be part of God's great harvest. If a world was to be conquered in those days as today, if meaningful change was to come about, if lives were to be changed, action was needed. So the message that went out to the ancient church leaders and through the ages come to you and me, to all of us, this very day. I like about one thing about Matthew 6, and I love the older translation. Strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Somehow, make things right between you and God. Get perspective in your life and all things. That's the promise of the Bible, will change and be different. Your priorities will move. And things that you often did, maybe once a year for the church as a little special favor, will suddenly move up and say, hey, I've got a place to fill. I've got a mission to accomplish. I have a task. Because this is not for Cocoa Beach Community Church, oldest church on the space coast or anything like that. This is for the kingdom of God. A kingdom that establishes itself in our lives and in our hearts. And the moment when I realize what the kingdom of God implies, I realize that I made that choice. The day when I first, as a 16-year-old kid, stood in front of a pulpit 10,000 miles from here and saying, yes, Lord. I didn't know what I was talking about. Today I do. That was the challenge to the church leaders and to us. Because they were the ones who originally promised God that they would do God's work. But fact is, they were idle in the courtyard. They were not doing it. They were caught up in senseless and useless rituals and arguments. And then Jesus conjured up the image of those who originally said no when they were called. Who were they? The despised, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those who could no longer be part of a civil society, were now changing their mind when they heard Jesus speak. They obeyed his call, and many of them turned to God, started following Jesus. To work in God's vineyard that his story spoke about. Former sinners were now doing God's will, while the church of his time was blind to notice. You know what they missed? What they totally misunderstood? They didn't understand that God's kingdom was coming anyway, with or without them. You're not going to stop God's coming kingdom. I'm not going to stop it. It's a privilege to work and be part of God's kingdom. So Jesus was saying, you guys with your fancy robes and your high synagogue talk, Let me tell you, that despised woman that I picked up from the streets, when she turned to me, is now taking your place. People who had no witness before is now turning and saying, here I am, just as I am, without one plea. Alone your blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Only God, only God, only God can take an almost lost cause and breathe on it with His Holy Spirit and let people sense that their God is present, ever present, as we heard in the witnesses this morning. Only God, through God's Spirit, can rebuild you and me and all our people and every newcomer into a people transformed and inspired to be, to indeed be God's people in times like these. Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders of the temple, now you tell me, which of the two did the will of his father? Oh, the first, they answered, because they still didn't understand. The parable puzzled them. You see, they did not understand that it was about them. They didn't even realize that they were the ones who failed to work in the vineyard of the Father in spite of all their yes-saying of long ago. What is God doing in the story of Jesus? He's replacing them. He's saying, you've had your chance. I'll call others. Yeah, they were whores. Yeah, they were thieves. But they heard the call and they responded and they changed and they got renewed. And they are now taking your place, church leaders. That was the story that Jesus told. It's a story about people long ago who missed the boat, who bypassed the times of God, and finally ended on the road to nowhere because they were not tuned in to the message of the coming of God's kingdom. Because they insisted on their own ways. And that was certainly so true of those officials. Jesus self was standing in front of them and they failed to recognize him. The greatest events in the history of the world were taking place in their midst, and they were missing the opportunity to be part of it. God was moving while they were talking and talking and letting Jesus pass them by. I wonder if the religious officials finally got the point of the message of Jesus. I wonder if you and I are getting the point. Because the message of God's invitation is for us as well. And sometimes you and I can be so blind to God's actions in our lives. Sometimes we also are talking and talking without walking and walking. Talk, no action. And sometimes we refuse to let God break into our lives and help us make a new start by His grace. When I came to this point in preparation for this morning, I looked in the mirror of my soul. I asked myself, are you still the same kid that stepped into a pulpit in 1968 You've had a chance to see churches die, people broken, people turning their backs, moving away. It was tough to think. Ministry isn't always about successes. It's often about change. It's often about keeping up. And it's often about being broken up inside. You know what my conclusion was? I can tell you, because that was the moment that I suddenly realized that you can call me an optimist if you want to, but I still believe with all my heart that the voice of Jesus Christ will never, ever be silenced till the end of time. God is still speaking, and even today, even in this moment, a transformation can take place, and God can break through, and lives will never be the same again. Call me an optimist, but I believe in the future of Cocoa Beach Community Church. When God called His people, beginning 4 years ago, to take on the enormous challenge of saving these buildings and this ministry for the future, nobody knew that an economic downturn was coming. Nobody knew that. It came afterwards, after we were already busy, and we saw people stepping forward, one after the other, accepted the challenge. And today I know that God, who has called us, will allow us and help us to complete what we've started. But the kingdom of God is not about buildings or human money. The kingdom of God is about being touched and changed from the inside out. The kingdom of God consists of men and women who earlier on said, "Sorry, I'm not going to do it." Who now saying, "Where's that dishcloth? If I can only wash a few cups and saucers, here I am." Oh, may God touch and change you and me today. May we hear the call. May we accept the challenge. And I know God is faithful. And God will see in these troubling times, will see us through. As long as we realize who we are. God's child who said, previously said, "I will not." Who today in times like these are saying, in spite of everything, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. God, we belong to You. You spoke to us through Scripture this morning like a parent to a child. We thank You that You came to us through Your Spirit and called us anew or for the first time to follow You, to follow You as we love and work and serve as one of Your very own in Your vineyard, in Your kingdom on earth. Guide us, teach us, change us, use us to seek and serve Your kingdom as we now seek to do Your will this day and every day of our lives. We pray especially this morning for those in our midst who are in crisis, pain and uncertainty, for those who are close to the end of their earthly journey, and for those who are surrounding them with love and care. We pray for those undergoing medical treatments with an uncertain outcome. Grant them and their loved ones the peace and the assurance of your presence in all the difficult times of life. O God, here in our midst, many a silent prayer is going up this very second. Hear every quiet, silent, pleading prayer here from our midst this morning. We pray with thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.